This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. Mary Jane. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
They say the sun and a shining world, but I hear some people world shining at all.
These roads of flames are catching a fire. Ah.
Talking Heads with Naughty is brought to you by the Bahamas Out Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, the Fincastle Media Group, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Jerker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
Give God the thanks and praises. I've been on my own, on, on. But we ain't never left alone, alone, alone. And if I'm telling you the feeling is right, well, this won't take too long. And when you're feeling alone, you can call my phone. Is there a better way to go? Teach them something before they lose the soul. No. Freedom is the road. No. Coming in from the cold. Not to sell it is worth more than gold. And kids and eyes will catch them in the end. Oh yeah, oh yeah. They'll try to manipulate you through your pockets.
Here's how you can become a talking head, brought to you by BTC.
You got it locked and loaded to the Wednesday, June 19th edition of Talking Heads, your boy Naughty and your company, along with Mary Jane, right up until 6 p.m. Pearly will be chiming in the 5 o'clock hour to talk sports, but it's Wednesday, so here comes MJ. What's going on, MJ?
Hey, Naughty. What's good?
It's a Wednesday, so you know it's time to do what we do. So, you know, hopefully you had a great week going so far, but we got lots to talk about. It is Open Line Wednesday, and we're going to let everybody chime in. Here's how you chime in. Phone lines are open in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free in any one of the Family Islands, 242-300, 42300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day right here at Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. MJ, we got lots to talk about, man. You see the headliners? And the headlines was blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian. I think it's time to get into that right now.
It's time for Headliners. Everything that's making headlines in the 242. Brought to you by the Fine Threads.
All right, so here's what we got blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian, MJ News and Views of Madison's 1844. Big headline, glad to know that the former Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingraham, is doing well. Doctors removed the blood clot from the base of Ingraham's brain, but he seems to be in good spirits and released from the hospital today. And I'm glad to see Papa, you know,
that's good news.
Out and about and getting where he needs to be. Seemed quite coherent, quite in good spirits. Very candid with his reply, you know what I mean? So seems like he's in good health. And hats off to all the doctors that did a great job on that, Dr. Keith, and, of course, Dr. Dwayne Sands.
Right. It is good to hear that our former prime minister is doing well. You know, whenever you hear like emergency surgery, and especially emergency brain surgery, that definitely, you know, makes one tense and worry. But it's good to know that he was in such great hands and that he is convalescent and that he's in good. I would imagine he's in good spirits. He usually is.
He's, so it's good to know that's still the case. On the footage that I saw with him exiting the hospital, he seemed in good spirits, in typical papa spirits, you know?
Right, exactly.
All right, here's another headline. Davis Grand Lucayan will likely be sold very soon. Mr. Prime Minister, again?
Yeah.
Again?
Two words. Okay, first of all, likely, which means, you know, this thing could go either way, but it's likely, but you know. And then soon, I mean, soon is very subjective to some people. For me, tomorrow might be soon. For you, 2 years from now might be soon. I don't know what soon means in this case.
I just think they got the memo. We can't send poor Mr. Cooper to deliver this message again, okay? No. Don't do it like that. Time for you to stand up and say it, Mr. Prime Minister.
Yeah, no, but because at one point we were told that it was indeed soon, correct? And now this is, I guess,
very soon.
I mean, it's been obvious that it hasn't been sold, but at one point we were told that it was sold, and now...
You know, this reminds me of this very soon. You remember when we were small, we used to watch the Smurfs, and the Smurf used to go walking, and it'd be, are we there yet, Papa Smurf? Soon, Smurfs. Are we there, Papa? Soon, Smurfs. Are we there yet? Soon, Smurfs.
Right, because soon is kind of subjective. So we'll see. I mean, it's been so long since we've had any movement or even conversation on this. I'm very... surprised that they're even saying this much about the hotel. We get told these things once, that there's no follow-up, and then we have to try to piece together what's happening. They say soon. We'll see what soon means to the government.
All right, here's another one. PM won't say proposed ratio of Bahamian versus foreign workers on new hospital. Is this another 80-20 split?
This is such an unforced error on the behalf of the government, particularly during the budget presentation. This little aside about, you know, how many workers will be foreign, how many will be Bahamian that's working on this proposed new hospital. I don't understand why the government can't just tell us, you know, what is the proposed ratio right now. It could be subject to change. They may still be in negotiations, but I'm sure that they have some idea. The thing about it is, getting any little bit of information out of this government these days seems to be like pulling teeth. And it should. People get frustrated about, these pronouncements that they make, because it's always something said and then no follow-up. And even getting the most basic information is a struggle. What is the big deal? Just tell us. It's going to become reality at some point. Just tell us where we are right now. And if you have if you're still in negotiation, then you can mention that too. But what is the big deal? You know, and when you have cases like this, people tend to assume the worst. And I don't blame them. Because if it's a good deal, you should be touting that like you tout other things that you consider good deals. So I don't know why there's this hush-hush, you know, lack of transparency.
You mean like that BP idea, 100% for 40%, but it's not sold, or it is sold, or it isn't sold? But
yeah,
that one?
I mean, so many... about such things that should be, the information should be readily available. Nobody believes that at this moment in time, the government doesn't know what the proposed ratio is. So what is the big secret? And you've already announced the hospital. You've put it out there. So you must be past this stage of your negotiations. You know, come on.
And you know what I'm about to say? This screams for the need of a Freedom of Information Act and a Procurement Act that's actually exercised and enforced. Because if those are in place, we get these kind of answers up front. And finally, MJ, before we get to the break, exports decreased 44% in the first quarter. That is kind of sobering right there.
Yeah.
And now we've got these headlines, plus we need to talk about the purchase of an airplane. We got this coming out of the House of Assembly we need to address. And so much more to talk about. So we'll find out what everybody's buzzing on the flip side of the break. We're going to get to the break. Caller, I see you. You'll be my first call out of the break where we hit the buzz. All brought to you, of course, by John Shoes, which is coming up on the flip side of the break as the Wednesday, June 19th edition of Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane continues right after this.
Ah,
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane. On 0.9 FM.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Flavid Island Games, we making dreams come true. Flavid Island Games, we paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market, you getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is Boise, and Boise is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we can make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your Cheetah Sandwich now at KFCNassau.com. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's, where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well, what the truth.
We all know that our country's electricity infrastructure is decades old. It is breaking down. It is too expensive, and it cannot transmit clean energy. Small changes aren't enough. We are taking it all on. Upgrading and modernizing the grid. Solar power. Major energy reform. That's how we get to lower prices and more reliable electricity. It will not happen overnight, but it will be game-changing.
Go to newenergyera.gov.bs to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing news?
Back at you right here on the Wednesday, June 19th edition of Talking Heads. Naughty and Mary Jane in your company right up until 6 p.m. And, you know, we're back at you with the buzz. Like I said, brought to you, of course, by John Shoes. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. You can let us know what you're buzzing on. I know MJ and I have a couple of things to talk about what we're buzzing on. So let's get to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Naughty.
Hey, good afternoon.
Okay, good. I just here listening to you in the bottom, Mary Jane, I think it is.
Yes, sir.
I can repeat what she was saying in terms of trying to figure out how could the government make decisions and not provide transparency. People asking questions, they aren't answering them. That relates to government business. You're talking about spending taxpayers' money, coming in, budgeting these allocations with no explanation. They're spending the money, and then when people ask you what you're spending money on, you have no idea or you have no response. I mean, I think about private office, private practice, private employment. And nowhere in private employment this behavior occurs. Okay? And only in public office. And they're trying to figure out why is that acceptable from intelligent Bahamians? Because I don't want to talk to the de-averages. I want to talk to intelligent Bahamians today. You know, we who know better, how are we not able to lead this revolution and get people fired up to see corruption be put an end? And this dispensation and generation, A41.
Yeah, brother.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
And we've been seeing the same movie over and over and over again for all our lives. At the end of the movie, somebody in a red mask or a yellow mask show up like Freddy and Friday the 13th, Jason and Friday the 13th, and here we go. We suffer again.
You know why I run, Naughty? You know, my first time I run, I was 35. Okay. I run independent. Okay.
I know, but and that showed a lot of courage, and that showed a lot of intestinal fortitude, and it showed where voters were going from back then where they are today. They want another option, but they need viable options, and maybe independent candidates may be a viable option moving forward.
Could I suggest this? Okay. You know, you don't have, the PLB and FNM had 50 years. 50 years, you look at the report card, today's report card, your child had a year to be in school to show what they've been doing. Now here comes report card days, all that. You know exactly that, okay, Johnny, you ain't do no work. What's the problem? Now, Johnny, someone else child come in the same thing. So then you start the question: is there something wrong with the teaching, the way they're teaching the kids? Okay, you start to evaluate. So I'm saying to you is now after 50 years at 41, I'm thinking that maybe we could just suggest to the nation that no one votes for PLP and FNM. I think this allows voting to become more objective because now there's fresh people. The media may want to be able to now highlight more people who may be putting themselves forward. There may be more engagement in terms of people having to prove themselves with plans versus just a brand. Because we've always been on the Michael Jordan Nike brand tip. No matter how bad the shoes is, or look, we just gonna wear them Jordans.
Ready and mashing your corn or not, brother? Ready you toe, you can't walk. You got to sit down on that at the party where you got Jordan on your foot. You look good.
You won't wear them Jordans, and so I mean, my suggestion to being people is, hey, let's give new people a chance to go and open a book for the first time, and now who might be eager and hungry to work. Because, when you've been working for a long time, you've been on that job for the first day, you're the best employee.
Hey, couple months later, you ask a question or two, you got a problem. You're insubordinate.
But at least we could get them in the first 30 days because, they get something to prove. But the PLP and FNM, who only get a switch to face and the color, but keep the secrets the way it is. Because I listen to Pentad ain't saying nothing no different. He's still talking income tax. He ain't talking no relief. He ain't pushing no power into the people's hands. He ain't talking about no community level banks. He ain't talking about favorable loans for people who may be in the need of it. He ain't talking about helping people market their business.
Here's the deal, and I don't want to cut you short, but the phone line's full, and I got to get to the other calls. But guess what? I know Tada's coming on with a crew of independents. I'm going to link you two together, so when she comes on show...
I know Tada. We have to link.
We'll make sure I get you on, too, because we obviously going to have this as a platform for independent candidates as well.
Well, I appreciate that. Love you and hope everything goes according to plan.
Be safe, my brother. Happy fencing and do well. Continue to do well. Let's get to these other two calls. Talking Heads.
Hey, good afternoon, Naughty.
Afternoon, how are you?
And to MJ. How you doing, MJ?
Good. I'm good. How are you?
The great Graham Weatherford. What you got for us today, brother?
Welcome back.
I grabbed my Bible and started jumping up and down. Listen, you could give him my cell phone number. Do you know him?
Yeah, man. I'll make sure I get the link to you.
Yeah. So he's a part of an elite group. A lot of people can vote, but very few offer themselves. And the best way to offer yourself is an independent. See, Naughty, if you run independent for Bain Town, you don't join up with a gang, do you? You don't have a special color T-shirt, a gang shirt. You don't know any gang symbols. You there by yourself, and you better do what you need to do for those people, or they can roll you out. And you see, by yourself, the independent has no power, they'll say. But put about 6-7 of them in there. And let them be the swing vote. In other words, we don't care if the red or yellow win. They may win by 3 or 4 seats. That landslide thing finished now. So if you win, let's say the yellow wins by 3 seats, but you got 7 independents. Every day of the week, they can join the red party. Not become a red person. Just join with them in a vote on any given issue. So the 7 of you independents say, listen, fix women's rights for Tada. And if you don't, we will vote with this red party and you'll be out tomorrow morning. See, that's a check system. And that's what I explained in 08. Now, what's really sad is the last caller. And I want him to know, even though someone may be a D average, like I was in school, I failed school, or it failed me because it didn't teach money. It didn't teach certain principles. It taught what? Slavitude, I call it. Get a job. What if you don't want a job? You see, we are in a different era right now where your phone and the internet can help you become extremely rich. Think about this, Naughty and MJ. 10 years ago, if I'd have said, let's own every place where you could sleep tonight, but not own a building, not have insurance, don't worry about the plumbing and maintenance on that building, and we'd make the money off the building, you'll say, child, you crazy. But look at Airbnb. And so what is the next big thing in the conceptual economy? And Bahamians are jumping on Airbnb. And I said when we did, they'd tax it. And you watch what's coming down the pipeline. I'll leave you with this. Last caller, he really motivated me because I've not heard one thing from any person on how they're going to help the poor and the middle class. But I see them shaking some rich people's hands. And see, that disturbs me because we need to fix the country for Bahamians this time. Nadia and MJ, y'all have a good one.
You too, Graham. Good stuff. Let me check out the text lines real quick. I see you. Just hang tight. I'll get to you. Other three callers in 1 second. Let's check the text lines real quick. Good afternoon, Nadia and MJ. Government vocabulary proposal soon, not yet. Pipeline. Prime Minister out about the BPL sounds like a sales pitch campaign. Good afternoon, Nadia and MJ. Good show. Tell the caller you got to speak to the D student Bahamians, C, and the B students run the world. A and B students out of touch because they follow us. They were in the conference of the box. So the system is ruled by them. Why is it every time an egg on a face moment like the $2.5 million plane, here comes a damage control statement from OPM when they simply could have answered that very question in the House of Assembly? So now I still don't believe this official OPM statement.
And I think we have a copy of the statement. When we get to that, we can go over that. We're talking about the airplane.
Correct.
That was,
We're getting clarification,
but yeah.
We'll get to that shortly. As soon as we get these couple of callers out of the way. Naughty, can you tell Prime Minister, please ring the bell. Last election, my family and I voted PRP for the better, but nothing changed. PM, ring the bell. Well, okay.
Already?
Come on, man. At least give them till 2025.
Come on, yeah.
The rumor is they can call it in 2025, so let's see. Anyway, let's go back to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
How are you, Nadia?
Afternoon.
What's going on? How are you?
Full disclosure, I am president of the Contractors Association of the Bahamas.
Thank you.
Don't make it the last.
Sometimes we need to hear from you.
At this point in time, I want the public to know why we make noise about certain things. We make noise about certain things in our country because we are called the Bahamian Contractors Association. That means your cousins, your brother, your dad, your uncles, your nieces, nephews, all work in this industry here. Now, while we have no issue with government getting financing from anywhere in the world, our issue comes is when we get money from Chinese, it comes with people. What it says to my membership is that you guys sit and wait, tell persons come into your country, do the work, get salaries, take it out of the country, and you just come and enjoy the hustle. While that may be one part of the benefits, we need to earn wages to take care of our families and pay taxes in this country. So from our standpoint in the Contractors Association, we don't get excited about this $300 million, 290 plus change orders, $300 million, 50 plus money, because we're not getting hardly any of that. And then for the government to tell us, well, it's going to be 20% Bahamian. Let me talk construction, Naughty, for just 2 minutes. Let me tell you 2 minutes.
This Mr. Sands. Yes, Mr. Sands, correct. I just wanted to make sure. Go ahead, sir. Yeah.
A hospital is a building. A building of any size of that magnitude is mostly concrete and steel. We have been building concrete and steel in the Bahamas for over 50 years. What they are bringing is persons to do the same type of work the humans could do day in and day out. Specialized stuff in a hospital, I can understand. You could have your specialist who install those kind of things. So our position is the ratio probably should be 80-20. 80% Bahamian and 20% Chinese. But again, the Bahamians are never given an opportunity in these kind of arrangements to give an input. So all we do is we can complain, and that's what we do. We complain about the fact that we don't believe it's something that had to be done this way. We believe we could have done it differently. And so when the public hears the BCA complain, it's not against the project. It's not against the government. It's the fact that I represent and we represent Bahamian families who work and earn the income in construction. So when we hear about work that takes away that opportunity, it's something for us to be concerned about. That's it.
Mr. Sands, thank you for calling. We really appreciate you calling, particularly on this issue, which of course you and your association would have expertise on. I'm just curious.
And I appreciate were that.
Was your association, the Bahamian Contractors Association, consulted in any form on this particular
zero.
Project with the hospital?
Zero
consultation.
They don't even consider the fact that we could have some specialized knowledge to offer to the project. Not even considering the fact that, let me go on, let me say this before I go. The largest contractors in this country who do over $1 billion, almost $500 million by themselves, are members of the association.
Right.
They didn't even consider asking, could we have participated in the funding? You didn't have to get all the money from China.
Right.
Not even a consideration. We have members who finance projects in the hundreds of millions by themselves. Not even considered.
My goodness. You've made some eye-opening points this afternoon.
And when the politicians come and tell you, but they're all about this and that, and we saw it low and high, and we couldn't find anyone, only the Chinese, that's not absolutely true. I dare them to prove that. That's not true.
All right, Mr. Sands, I really appreciate you calling as well. And listen, now that you've broken the ice, you're now a friend of the show. So when I need anything construction related, I will be calling your name. So it'll be like a bat signal, and you want to write back in, okay?
There we go. Call me anytime.
Thank you so much, man. Greatly appreciate it. All right, let's get to the other phone lines. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. Turn your radio down for me, please.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Good afternoon. What's happening?
Yeah, Naughty.
Hey, what's going on?
All is well. Look, yeah, I only call in concerning the first caller, which said that the two government been in for 50 years and ain't do nothing. Nor do you need to correct them when they speak like that.
That's a matter of opinion, because, I mean, they're entitled to it.
Even though it's a matter of opinion, it's a misleading opinion. And we should correct people like them so they wouldn't be speaking like that. And he want to be part of the government by being an independent candidate, and he's speaking like that. Anyhow,
but that's up to you.
I can talk to you during the sports hour. I only want to call in to correct the young man that, and he's only 41, and that's what he can say. The two of the parties, major parties, been in for 50 years and ain't do nothing.
But that's the whole beauty about having a debate and dialogue. You know, you got point and counterpoint. I mean, but you're entitled to your opinion, and he's entitled to his.
Yeah,
wouldn't you agree?
I understand what you're saying.
Because some people feel a certain way about LeBron, and you all know how I feel, right?
Yeah, hold on. We can talk sports later on.
5 o'clock, brother. 5 o'clock. I can see you then. I can look for the call. All right, bro. Be safe.
Listen to you and LJ.
MJ, yeah, man,
MJ,
for sure.
And we'll finish this in you all. And then we'll talk some sports later on, God willing.
All right, I got you at 5 o'clock, brother. All good. Okay. Let's get to the other call. Talking Heads. On GNN, what you got for me today?
Boy, if I tell you what I got for you today, you might talk it. I be your guest.
No problem. MJ,
you're supposed to do.
Hi, good afternoon.
The caller just now called for you to correct somebody else, another caller. And then I call in to correct him.
You see? That's why I let you all correct each other, and I ain't getting them now. Go ahead.
Exactly. See, because since the Lyndon Oscar Finlan has done what he done with NIB and the police force and the defense force and all of those things, no other prime minister technically did anything that would affect each and every Bahamian. See, that's what legacy is all about. When you put something down, every Bahamian, born and yet unborn, will benefit from it. You understand? Because I ain't never waking the whole death. So that ain't nothing for me. You understand what them other prime ministers do? So you got to correct him too. The only person really got serious legacy in the town when it comes to affecting each and every Bahamian was Sir Lyndon Oscar Finlan. All right? I call, maybe you and your guest could explain as to why we need this plan. But I ain't nothing would make sense yet.
All right, 1 second.
Yeah, no, we're going to get to the plane. They released a statement that plane wasn't actually purchased for $2.5 million. Apparently, that's what they spent to refurbish it, because this was a plane that was already confiscated by the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So we just keep listening. As soon as we get through these calls, we will get to the statement released from the Office of the Prime Minister.
Okay, thank you very much, because I'll be listening.
Thanks so much.
You know. interest.
All right, Gia, then be safe, man. Good to hear from you, bro. Be safe. Let's get to the other.
Naughty,
go ahead.
Naughty, I also wanted to say this because there was a little bit of back and forth about, you know, this caller said nobody did nothing and you can't let them say that. I just wanted to say that when I hear a person say, oh, well, this one did nothing, to me, it's hyperbolic. It's a bit of hyperbole. It's very similar, since I believe that the caller that wanted to correct the original caller, to me, it sounded like they leaned to a particular way. But it's similar to when the MP from Grand Bahama stood in the House of Assembly and basically said the FNM did nothing. And we all know that if you really got down to the nitty gritty, as a matter of fact, I think that was a particular line of attack that's been repeated a couple of times during this budget debate, that the former government had 5 members of parliament from Grand Bahama. They had a minister, I think they said 2 former ministers of finance, and they did nothing. Well, we all know that it's not that they did absolutely nothing.
Their leader was in Kalani. He wasn't in Grand Bahama, so they had this
hyperbole. Sometimes when people make these statements, they exaggerate it to drive a point home, and that's what I think the original caller was doing when he said, well, they did nothing. I think that that's what he meant. So we try not to, like, nitpick every little point. And so the callers feel free to express their opinions, because I think that's what's most important on this show, which is hearing what every Bahamian has to say, all of our talking heads out there.
Oh, let me get to this text. This is a good one right here. Naughty, please, since we're correcting everybody, afternoon to you and MJ, please correct your callers and remind them that the airwaves were opened by Papa. Mr. Ingram opened up the airwaves, and prior to him doing that, none of us could call a station and express our views, let alone tell the host to correct callers. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
We're very grateful for it. And that's why we're so happy that Mr. Ingram is doing well today. Very, very, very happy to hear that.
Phone lines are full. Callers, we're coming to you right now. Let me get to this text. Naughty and MJ, isn't it a shame that with all of the consultants and media personnel at the OPM, they are still making these silly mistakes? How is it that the substantive Minister of Finance, who happens to be the Prime Minister, failed to mention in his contribution the proposed acquisition of the aircraft? Thanks to the vigilance of the opposition, they discovered this knowledge of the public. When you practice wickedness, you always have to do damage control.
So maybe we should touch on this now, Naughty. I think.
Let's get into that, and then callers be coming right to you. Let's go, MJ. Let's touch on this.
So we did learn from the opposition that there was a budget line item, some $2.5 million, and the way it was initially, the way it initially came across is that the government had made this purchase of an aircraft for 2.5, which I have to tell you, when I first heard it, I was like, 2.5 million, that sounds kind of low, like for an aircraft. But mind you, I don't know much about aircraft. So just to my mind. Now we're learning that it's not for the purchase of an aircraft. According to a statement that was released this afternoon from the Office of the Prime Minister, it says that this particular aircraft in question was one that was actually confiscated by the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and that they are now renovating this aircraft for the government to use for travel to the family islands. So
look, I'm trying hard to keep my comedian hat off my head right now. So what you're trying to tell me, that it's a Narcos plane that was taken into custody from Pedro or Paco or Jose? And that's who they fix in the plane to put the seats back in, because they take the seats out to put the cargo in the first time? Is that what they're talking about?
What kind of plane? And the thing that I don't like about the statement, by the way, you guys can find the statement on opm.gov.bs. That's opm.gov.bs. Let me just be able to access it immediately. It says, quote, the Office of the Prime Minister wishes to provide an update on a recent budget allocation and the use of an aircraft for travel to the family islands. The Royal Bahamas Police Force confiscated the aircraft in question and is now repurposing it for official government use. The decision was made to optimize resources and enhance the efficiency of government operations across our archipelago. The government of the Bahamas, along with senior officials and technocrats, is required to travel frequently to various family islands, including those that do not have regular commercial flights. This ensures government services are accessible to all residents, regardless of their location within our extensive archipelago. This approach represents a cost-saving measure, significantly reducing the monthly expenses incurred by the government. end quote. I'll stop it there because it goes on to talk about, you know, travel to the family islands and so forth and so on. I don't know, Naughty. I don't know how I feel about this.
All right, this is the way I feel. I heard the first statement.
I feel a lot of spin in this statement. It's like a little washing machine happening right here. A little spin happening right here.
All I have to say is I noticed that, you know, the OPM is there to add a counteractive story to say, okay, it's not really being purchased. See what had happened. He said that it was purchased, but what had happened really is, couldn't you send that in the first place in the House of Assembly and break it down that our you know, present cabinet is going to be flying to the Family Islands on a former Narcos plane that's been refurbished?
Well,
by Pimp My Plane?
We don't know that that is the case, but therein lies the problem. We don't have the details. They still didn't tell us what type of aircraft it is that's going to require a $2.5 million. Now it's not to
I'm understanding
plane.
It's a G700. It's a Gulfstream G700. That's what I'm hearing, 7-seater or so.
So it's a jet. So it's a 7-seater. Okay, so that's quite a fancy. yeah, that's some fancy digs out there if it's a G7. But then there are other questions. You're putting $2.5 million to that. You know, some people would say that perhaps
you could buy fire engines that are needed in the Family Islands, ambulances that are needed in the Family Islands, other things that are needed in the Family Islands that $2.5 million could have gone to.
Right. So you're talking about prioritizing. And also, I mean, it's not clear to me because at the end of the statement, it talks about how the Royal Bahamas Police Force will also maintain, operate, and utilize the aircraft, ensuring its safety and reliability for government travel needs. Is this something that that they normally do that involves the government like this? I don't understand. So does the Royal Bahamas Police Force still own possession? I mean, there's still so many questions, you know, that haven't been answered even after this statement has been released. And it's really a shame, like you said, that it has to come to the point where there has to be a public outcry and shock
to find out what is what.
And the government isn't more forthcoming. They've now released a statement, and I feel like we need more follow-up. I need to understand, when did the Royal Bahamas Police Force come in possession of this plane? How did the government part of it get involved? You know, when was the decision made that they're going to repurpose? I mean, you say confiscated, but I'm not hearing the full story.
What's the story? What's the legend of the plane? You know, what's the history?
Right,
where's the plane facts?
Is everything that's taken into their possession, is there an amount of time that has to pass before it could be, you know, repurposed this way or used? There's still so many questions. And I hate that it's always, you know, Bahamians crying out. Give us the information. Tell us more. It's like I said, it's like pulling teeth, and it really shouldn't be this way. These own goals. That's what they call it in soccer when you kick the ball.
Right. Yeah, shooting yourself in the foot sometimes too.
These own goals should not still be happening at this point. Like I said, I think they have us there. And more precisely, the Prime Minister was asked about this, and in the People's House, that's the opportunity. That's the best place to just, you know.
Right.
Give us the information.
Perfect. It should have happened there one time, but let's get to these phone lines. Four calls on the line. Lines are full. Let's get in there. Talking Heads.
Yes. Good afternoon to both of you. MJ, I finally get to. Every time I hear you, I always like MJ because she brings it the way Naughty tries to carry it.
let me tell you, speaking of carry it, you want me to tell you what you can carry? go ahead, see Alan.
But hey,
friends, like,
you know,
who needs enemas?
See, the linguistic contortionist in the office of the Prime Minister needs something to do. So they, you know, they have to be able to twist and turn or whatever. You know, on Dwight Show early this morning, a regular call off the street explained this press release that the airport is where the plane is sitting at the airport, what it's going to cost, and exactly what it was. So maybe I knew they were listening to Dwight because the leader of the opposition was coming on immediately. So they heard that and they say, okay, it's out. Let's go now and spin this the best way we can. There's so much questions, right? Because, you know, generally speaking of a plane value, you look at the original value. If it's a G250, I don't remember what the person said. I think they came out of about $25 million or so. Right. Now the value is probably about 12, 13, 14 million. But here's what happens. It costs 20% of the original price to maintain that plane, happen to it, the staff, the upkeep, this, that. Then you have this certain year full maintenance and ever. So there's a lot of things that have to be answered to talk about the effectiveness. So if you take the 20, let's put it at $20 million, then it could run easy $3, $4, $5 million a year to keep this plane running.
Oh,
now, remember, it's a police plane, so I assume the police will also be using it for whatever it is that they'll be doing. The question then becomes is, where's the cost analysis and all the other different things that's associated with this to justify this use of where
precisely.
Go? But just another point is that, and for Graham with his conceptual economy, he may not have been listening to the leader of opposition for the last 2.5 years because he has been always touching on the need for innovation-driven growth in the Bahamas, the need to, as coming from the creative and intellectual community, he understands the core value in the conceptual economy of knowledge, information, intellectual capital, and innovation, as well as the orange economy combination. So he's the most prepared for the very thing Graham's talking about if he fully understands what is it he's demanding. But when you look at the team of that will be understand. And they did that. They invented the Ministry for Grand Bahama. Dr. Darwell was there. They had a government right now for 13 years who ain't did nothing. Or was it did little?
It's hyperbolic.
See, and so, see, because MPs don't develop the country. The government does. It's policy. It's legislation. It's procedures. It's programs, whatever. So if you comparatively compare the time they won from 2002 to now, they've had 13 years to do whatever's necessary from Grand Bahama from a government standpoint, and they have not. In fact, their blueprint for change today said that they would develop a strategy for every single island. We are coming to three years for of their governance, and they keep bringing us hope, distributing it as dope. And just, I'm simply saying is that we need better governance. And unequivocally, and I invite intelligent dialogue from the government and for those who want a better Bahamas, that to talk me down from believing that Michael Pintard's leadership of the Free National Movement is the next great step for the digital economy, the orange economy, the AI economy, the blue economy, the aquamarine economy, fintech, all of these different things. And I'm sure as he continues to talk, now especially as he's been reconfirmed as the leader going into the next election, you will hear more right. of it. But you will not just in ending, you'll not just hear ideas, whatever. I honestly believe, and I'm sure I'm going to try my best to work along with him as well as the others. You will hear the who, the what, the which, the when, the where, the why, and most importantly, the how. And guess what? You will not have to wait till the election to begin to utilize the policy positions he put out there, because a lot of them does not depend on governance. They depend on behemoth's awareness. That's
appreciate you, man.
Yeah,
we appreciate you, Sealand.
Hearing those ideas. Thank you so much, Sealand.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Call lines are full. Callers, we may have to go over a little bit to placate you all in the 5 o'clock, so relax, we'll get to you. But let's try to get as many in as we can right now before we get to the break. Talking Heads. Next one. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. Okay, I see what's happening today. They back to busy lines and dropping. War Room listening. Talking Heads. Let's get to the next one. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. All right, let's get to the text line. Mr. Producer, you check. Oh, we got one now?
Hey, Naughty.
Hey, what's happening?
Yeah, they got people calling in to block up the lines, and that's really sad. You know, we've had 50 years on report they would have, and if they could have and didn't, that's an indictment. So I'm pulling for whatever is different next lap. Good show, guys.
All right, appreciate it, Graham. Let's get to the next
Thanks
one.
Thanks so much, Graham.
Talking Heads.
Hey.
Talking Heads. Howdy. Yo.
How you doing?
All right.
Well, you know, Fly and Phil, I'm always mixing it up, right?
Yeah, I know. I know how to do it.
And you know, I know, but this thing with the plane and all the rest of that, but, you know, being a person who's on a plane, they need to tell us what type of plane it is.
Correct.
They're leaving that out, right? And when this plane was confiscated, because my cousin, the commissioner of police, now they confiscated the plane, what year it is.
Yeah, you know, there's all kind of allegations circulating what kind it is, 7-seater, G7, all type of stuff.
No, that release from the OPM office, they need to say what type of plane that is, because...
But that might not be, in all fairness, caller, that might not be a release from the office of the Prime Minister. That might be AI. That might be political mischief.
No.
That might be AI.
No, naughty.
Sorry.
I pulled that directly from the office of the Prime Minister's website.
I heard it too.
And I gave you guys, it's opm.gov.bs. That's the official release from the office of the Prime Minister.
$2.5 million could buy some of them planes fresh, brand new, would have been confiscated. If it's a King Air, like what he's fly around in. You know what I mean? And I can leave with this one. With OK and Anne-Marie most of the time. Okay?
Bye, caller. Have a good one. You struggle.
Bye.
Talking heads. Let's get to the next
caller.
Talking heads.
Hey, Naughty. What's happening? Hey, Mary Jane.
Hey, good afternoon.
Well, MJ, let me tell you something. I'm getting ready to open a radio station, right?
Right.
And I need you to be the chief editor.
Oh, Lord.
It's called program director. If you open the statement, get it right. It's called program director.
MJ, one thing I like with you, use big beat. You just go where no man has gone before.
So you Star Trek now then. Okay.
Use big beat, man. Thank you so much for the information, MJ. Just listening in.
Thank you so much, caller. We appreciate your
Mystery
call.
Dolphin,
you so
I'm sure we'll hear from you at 5. You know how mystery go. Let's get to this last call. Talking heads.
Yes, sir. This is Naughty Little Amy. I'm going to try to get through to you. It'll only be so long waiting.
Well, Sparky, listen.
Oh, it's a sports night, so I got to call you back on sports night.
No. We can open up a couple minutes into 5 o'clock before we get to the sports. So call me back right after the news. All right, we get to the news, flip side of the break. MJ and I continue a little bit into the 5 o'clock hour. Then Pearlie and I will talk some sports as the Wednesday list right after the news. Don't touch it.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC. And it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
John's Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Happy Independence, Bahamas! Let's celebrate 50 plus one together with a unique Janae's Uniform Center Independence print, dry fit polo or t-shirts, ribbons and pole bows in black, gold, and aquamarine. Janae's special family package includes buy 2 adults and 3 children Independence polos or t-shirts and get 15% off. Outfit your staff for a special Independence dress of week or day with a different design. For more than 30 pieces of Janae's Independence polos or t-shirts, get up to 25% discount. Janae's Uniform Center, Chesapeake Road, Independent selections. Choose your favorite and celebrate 50 plus one. Mama, restrictions apply.
I bone there. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty and Mary Jane.
Mary Jane.
only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
I've been feeling for your love so long. We can praise God in the moonlight.
Talking Heads with Monty is brought to you by the Bahamas Alt-Island Promotion Board, Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, the Finn Castle Media Group, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Jerker's Wild, KFC, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
And praise. I've been on my own, but we ain't never left alone, alone, alone. And if I'm telling you the feeling is wrong, relax a little, friend, this won't take too long. And when you're feeling alone.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, June 19th edition of Talking Heads, Naughty Along with Mary Jane and your company. All right, MJ, we got a couple of calls to get to, a couple of texts to get to and wrap up that hot first hour. Let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty, I had a call back. This is GNN.
What's happening?
I gotta give everybody a chance to talk with this plane, right? That's why I asked all the questions. What, explain what's happening. But let me explain, Raymond. Election coming up, man.
Because
all the other stuff they say about this man, he ain't making 1 ounce of sense. Election's coming up.
So GNN. Oh,
okay, I can read between the lines on that one. Oh, my goodness. So, okay.
Election's coming up. And they're fixing itself for whatever, however it could be. Okay?
All right, GNN, that's what you're hearing in the hood? That's what the Ghetto News Network's saying?
That's what on the ground. And one other caveat before I go. What may be in the pipeline for Bahamas there? I go on that one.
Oh, God.
That's a lot.
Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
Good afternoon, Donnie.
Hey, what's going on, Sparky?
Yeah, Sparky calling back. I just wanted to, all due respect over the holiday, over the weekend and everything, because Donnie, give me a minute there for a little while, because I remember something some people said to us when we were young, we were growing up. And I know you must have heard it. Remember one time when fellow was a politician, came up running for the House, running for to be elected, came and told us they come from Bamako, Bamford, and they never had nothing, wasn't looking for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You never remember that statement?
I vaguely remember it.
Yeah. Well, I remember saying, because I grew up in the valley, and I ran the valley, and they started campaigning to go into politics. That's when they was PSB. Come from Bamako, Bamford, never had nothing, wasn't looking for nothing. Move up from one, become a lawyer, this and that, and the House Assembly. Move from PLC, go on to FNM, and become Prime Minister. Now, all due respect, I got nothing against nobody when you get a red shade or you got a yellow shade. But when you go and do this and get to where you are now, you're on the mountaintop now. You've been to the mountaintop, you build one hospital and you buy with what you spend to build this hospital. Excuse me.
All right, Sparky, call us back when you catch yourself. I know you were trying to get a point across, but it sounded like you're having a little, little difficulty.
Bad connection.
So let me grab a couple of these texts before we get out of here, MJ. Good day. This is exactly why we don't trust the PRP. Always have to pull a tooth to get the truth or full story. Remember the BMW? Look at what's going on in BPL. Bermudagate always seems sneaky. As far as the aircraft goes, this morning on Dwight's show, it was alleged that it was a King Air 260.
I have to go study up on aircrafts now because I have no idea about, what's the high-end plane, low-end. I have no idea. But obviously, something we all need to learn about because we're buying or we're repurposing planes now. So, yeah.
Naughty and MJ, this makes no sense. How much money do they spend on a monthly basis to fly 7 people around the family islands? Even if they have to overnight somewhere, who's flying for what and on what schedule? And what is the monthly cost to staff, clean, fuel, buy parts, service, repair this plane? The train needs to release something that makes sense from the OPM.
Oh, all very relevant questions because, of course, and especially if this is a very high-end aircraft, like I say, the statement was released, you still didn't get all of the detailed maintenance costs. You know, if it, and that's why I just don't understand why, particularly when you have to go back and give information because you failed to do it the first time. I don't understand why you don't take that opportunity. You know, the folks over there in communications, the minister himself, our prime minister, Mr. Philip Brave Davis. I just don't understand why we can't, if you have to go back and correct, give us all of the information then. It's no point dragging this out, leaving more questions out there, you know.
All right. And we got the final phone call coming up, so let's grab that one. All right. So let's grab this one. If this Sparky calling back, let's try rapid Sparky, and let's get Sparky out of the way. Talking heads.
Yeah, naughty to Sparky.
All right, what you got for you? Rap for me real quick, Sparky, because you're breaking up.
When it comes to our hospitals, and we brag that we built this new wing of the hospital and everything, that happened during Mr. Ingram's time. The last time I remember Mr. Ingram getting sick, he went out of the Life at Key Hospital. All due respect to Mr. Ingram and politicians, but when they get sick, they run off to Florida.
No, but hold on, Sparky. Now, you got to make a point because I know of this prime minister, of our current prime minister, who, when he was under the weather, went to receive medical treatment from his daughter, who's a brilliant doctor in the States. So what's your point?
No, the point is, we got this big, beautiful thing called the PMH up there. When they tell us, the low-class people, like, do you go to the PMH? But when they get sick, they go to Life at Key Hospital. They go to doctor's hospital. If something had happened to me, as a Bahamian, would spend all this money out to somebody, they still getting pension and everything. Can I get the same services at doctor's hospital that they could get? Can my family get me there if I got a brain problem? Can they rush me to doctors on Life at Key? How come they don't go to the PMH?
All right, Sparky, well, the next time you talk to your good friends in this administration, ask them the same question, all right?
What?
Now we got to get to sports. Let's get this last call in, and let's get to sports. Talking heads.
Hey, Naughty, hey, MJ. I just want to ask a very interesting question.
Good afternoon.
What's happening, Jeff? And again, right, condolences, yeah. Jeff, to you and the family, man. Keeping you in our thoughts and prayers, man.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you, and thank you to the nation. Let me just say that because lots of persons who knew my mother very well for the service, over 40 years of nursing service she gave this country, they are calling in and they are planning to attend her homegoing service. So again, thank you for sharing that information for me. The only thing I have to say this morning, that apparently this supposed plane is already here in Nassau. I'm still waiting for the office of the Prime Minister to refute or confirm whether this aircraft is the aircraft in mind. Secondly, more than anything, we know aircrafts is something, especially with me being in the aviation field as well, having a full understanding of aircraft. I just wanted to know if this aircraft is one that's going to be refurbished, how tricked out is it going to be? Is it going to be like the supposed BMW that the PM got? Or what is the real story behind it? Are they really going after a new aircraft? Or are they going to basically acquire this one that is alleged to be sitting out at the airport, this King Air 260? I guess I'm going to have to do some digging to find out myself. But thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Jeff. All right.
Thank
good
you,
stuff.
Jeff. And to all of our callers, we have such such brilliant callers and listeners. I'm already getting information. I don't know if you are as well, Naughty, about this King Air.
Yeah, it's flowing in.
If that's the aircraft, they say that a 2022 model used would 7.3 million, and then you're looking at about 1.5 million a year to maintain. I don't know. This is all speculation. Like I said, we don't have the information. I guess they need to do another press release to give us more information. But yeah, things like that. How much would it cost to maintain per year? And then I think, like see, Alan said earlier, where's the cost analysis? I mean, if they just gave us the information, I'm sure that, you know, some of these things can be reconciled easily, but everything is like, what did the caller say? Pulling tooth for the truth, or what did they say?
Anyway, yeah, I agree with Jackson, that. I mean, I thank you for sending the press release that MJ just read about 10 minutes ago, and that press release from the OPM still does not speak to the questions that were asked.
We have more questions.
It may answer some, but now more questions arise from this. So it is what it is. And trust me, this is even close to an Air Force One situation. But anyway, we'll leave that just like that. MJ, I appreciate you chiming in with great stuff as always. I got Pearly getting ready to zoom in. And I got
I'm right here.
Pearly's here. We got Sheldon Longley in studio. We're talking BAAA.
Are you talking about the confiscated drug plane?
You know it's a drug. Wait, because you're breaking news now. You know it's a drug plane?
Well,
I don't know.
Pearly,
don't know
when they said King Air 260, hold on. When they heard King Air 260.
You don't know.
Let me say what it says. It says a confiscated plane by the police.
That's what it says. That's all we know.
Now that makes me answer a certain question. Wasn't a plane confiscated because it was stolen allegedly by somebody's, you know, kid who happened to be in politics or government affiliated back in the day?
Oh, so much speculation.
I mean, you know, that makes my mind wonder, you know,
Everybody's minds are running.
Who's going to manage the plane? And you know, the government record on maintenance, who's going to maintain this plane?
They say the Royal Bahamas Police Force. That's what we're hearing now.
Look, if they maintain that plane, like they maintain the police cars in the back of Oaksfield or in that graveyard, dear Jesus, we in trouble. Don't let nobody fly on that.
On that note, I'm out, guys. I have a great rest of the show.
MJ, we'll see you again on Friday. We greatly appreciate your contributions, man.
Have a great show.
All right. All right, so Pearly, we got Sheldon Longley in studio, man. We got lots to talk about. He's not barraging us with the Boston Celtics today. He's hitting us up with BAAA. We got track and field to talk, and I know you're a big fan of track and field with your allegiance to a certain school in the East that was, you know,
the best school in the world.
Yeah, that was taught.
Suckers, you know.
Suckers. I mean, Sackers. Yes, go ahead.
That's all right. No problem. You can be mad all you want.
All right, go ahead. So we got to talk. This is not swimming, obviously. So, you know, I'm just going to wait to chime in with some key questions.
So you don't want to talk about swimming right now because your school ain't the school when you went to it. They getting beaten swimming all now.
No, I tell you, that's why I don't endorse them. That's nothing like what I went to, man. That's a different franchise right there. But anyway, let's talk BAAA. Sheldon, good to see you. Welcome back, man. Big team, big squad. You got a lot of opportunities.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here, Naughty. Good day to you. Good day to Pearly. Good day, Bahamas.
Hey, bro.
We talk BAAA, we got to talk National Men's Basketball Team, too. So you ain't going nowhere. No, we have time soon, Sheldon. Well,
that's
so
fine
you
know. That's
yeah,
cool
but there was, an, there was an article that kind of disputed with Skidaboo said yesterday.
Yeah, so, and there's some new additions to that squad as well. But let's talk track and field first and foremost. So what you got for us, Sheldon?
Hey, guys, it's all about the BAAA Kids Athletics Junior and Senior National Championships. It's going to be held next week, June 26th to the 28th. That's Wednesday to Friday at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. Everybody is coming down. All of the top athletes in the Bahamas, athletes are coming back. Shawnee Milowebo is going to be here. Stephen Gardner is going to be here. Devin Charlton is going to be here. Charisma Taylor is going to be here. All of the Bahamas top athletes are going to be here. So we just asking for the Bahamas to come on and support these athletes. This is the road to Paris, right? Remember Paradise to Paris? You can't get to Paris unless you come to the Bahamas, right? So right now we have about 6 athletes who qualify as long with the mixed relay team. We're trying to probably get another 10 to 15 more qualified. You know, we're looking to field a very large team heading into Paris. And this is the meet to come out and help these athletes get to Paris. You know, so we're just looking for some fantastic times and performances.
And how big do you think that contingent might end up being? Because, I mean, in addition to track and field, don't forget, we have and I'm preaching to the choir on this, we have a strong field team as well, too. The field category looks like they have a chance to do some big things.
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, we already have, I think, 3 athletes who are qualified in the field events. You have Rima Audubon, who is qualified in the women's javelin, Charisma Taylor. She's in the quota for the women's triple jump. She qualified in the hurdles, but she's in the quota for the women's triple jump. And we have some other field athletes who are very close to qualifying as well. We usually field about 20 athletes, you know, from track and field for the Olympic team. The Olympic team in total is normally about 25 to 30 athletes. I expect it to be around the same. And then men's basketball is close as well. So we could possibly field a 30 or 40 member team for the Olympics. And it's going to be exciting, man. I'm looking forward to it.
And who do you think are some of the younger athletes that might make a surprise on this squad, Sheldon? Because I know we got some younger athletes that are right there, not too far off, and with the opportunity that's coming up to actually qualify, might be the little motivation they need.
We do. I was very surprised by Well, I was pleasantly surprised from what we got from Anton Andrews in the men's 110-meter hurdles at the New Life Invitational last weekend. You know, he ran 13.35 seconds, which equaled the Bahamas national record. And that's just 8 hundredths of a second off the Olympic qualifying time of 12.27 seconds. So he's right there.
So he right there. He could actually put it off this weekend with a strong performance,
correct?
He could pull it off.
You know, you have Shaquem Smith, who was very close in the men's 400-meter hurdles. He ran a personal best time of 48.79 seconds a couple of weeks ago. And the qualifying time in that event is 48.70 seconds. So he's just 9 hundredths of a second off of that qualifying mark. Keyshawn Strong is close to qualifying in the men's javelin. You know, we already have three females qualified in the women's 100-meter hurdles, which is historic for the Bahamas. We have never had that much athletes qualify in any hurdles event. You know, we have Stephen Gardner in the men's 400 meters. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of young athletes are close to the marks. You know, so we're just trying to, they just need that extra push to come out and help.
I'm going
to
ask you a separate question in regard to the Olympics and Paris and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Our girl, fan of the show, Shawnee.
Yes.
Baby fat off, right? She ready to go, right?
I assume so.
Not that I saw a baby fat the last time she ran, but I just want to make sure she full 100 to lay the smackdown on the world, because I think, you know,
yeah,
she still got it for sure.
Indeed. I put it like this. I saw her run at the World Relays, and she ran like a high 48 split, a 49 split at the World Relays. She hasn't run the individual 400 for the year, but I believe she's going to do so at the Nationals, right? With a little bit of push, we might see her in the 49, 48 second range.
And then she's there.
And she's also going to be a part of the mixed relay as well.
But I think on the low, she's been doing some training with the world hasn't seen.
No doubt.
Because she looked in good shape the last time, but I'm really rooting for her. I want to see her bring it home again.
She's going to be ready. The only concern that I might have is she might not have enough of a push to really, you know, show what she really can do.
Right.
I know she could give us a low 48.
But there's still tune-ups before the Olympics, correct? Internationally, that she could run in, correct?
Well, there's a meet in Canada, I think, this weekend.
Okay.
No, sorry, it was last weekend that some of our athletes would have gone to. But none of them are running between now and the Nationals. Nationals is just
next. But post-Nationals, there's an opportunity.
Post-Nationals, well, look, the end of the qualifying period is June 30th, right?
Right.
So the Nationals will actually be their last opportunity to qualify for the Olympics.
But once qualified, there are races that they can participate in, tune-up races prior to the Olympics, correct?
There might be races that they could compete in. You know, Devin is always on the tour.
Right.
Competing in Europe. You know, so
because she's had a great season so far.
Man, and she's going to get a push. She's going to get a push from Tanisha Cartwright. Tanisha Cartwright actually ran a time this year, which is the best time we've had in the hurdles under any conditions. That's 12.37 seconds. Devin has not even run that fast.
Wow.
I mean, it was win-aided, but it was still the fastest time under any condition. You know, so she is definitely going to give Devin a push, and Chris Mathilde is going to give her a push as well. So I expect Devin to possibly hit even 12.3 this weekend, next weekend.
Well, we got to get to the phone lines right now. Pearly, I just let you know, man, if Sheldon comes in tomorrow and you're on, this Boston Celtic hat is really hard to look at. I
go wear this for the next month, man.
I
don't make my mind up that we're in this for the next month straight.
It's got the old leprechaun logo on it. Remember the nasty, disgusting, looked like the racist Celtic logo, that one, the Auerbach one with the cigar? Yeah, oh, God, and Johnny Most.
Pearly has actually opened his head today so you could see it.
Let's go to the phone.
No, I think I saw you. You had it on like a couple of days before the last game. I think I saw you in it.
No, that was the new school when he's broken out the old school when this logo is horrible. I hate it.
But you saw the jersey I had on yesterday, too.
Exactly.
The old school jersey.
This one is, remember the old Boston Garden where you used to spread people to death in? That Celtic logo, that leprechaun was in the middle of that floor?
That's part of the strategy. That's part of the strategy, bro.
God, let's go to the phone lines. Talking heads.
Hey, what's in, Audie?
What's happening, Skiller? But what you got for us, man?
Pearl, where's that?
Now, Skiller, I'm glad you're here.
I'm talking to Pearl.
I'm glad you're here because we got Pearl, we got Sheldon, and we can talk men's national team. But go ahead, what you got for us, Skiller?
That's what I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You remember yesterday what I told you all, right?
Man, what, Clay?
That Clay is in.
Yeah.
Did you all listen to the lineup last night and this morning?
He's not in. He's practicing with the team. He's working
on
with the team.
Okay, now hold on, Pearly, hold on. Practice with a team unless you are part of the team.
No, not necessarily.
He is in.
Now hold on, Skiller. This could be a situation.
Only person in the whole country saying that because both newspapers had in their article when they interviewed them saying that he is practicing with the team. He's working on with the team, but he will not play in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now that's what they're saying. I tell you, what the international side of it saying?
Now, Stella, you my boy, but let me just interject this here.
I said the model with the Bahamas Basketball Federation saying, okay, with Lyndon Rose, the manager saying, and Lyndon Rose, the manager saying,
let me put it like this then. We can know when the...
We can know this, we can know Friday.
When the time comes, we'll know. But
they go into Greece on Friday to play in that tournament, and we will know then.
Okay then. I can wait till then too. But now, Naughty, listen, I just comment to share that right there, right? Now, I can listen to you and Poily moving forward. Poily.
Yes, sir.
Man, give us some update on what's going on, yeah? I didn't tune in today at all. They had me in that place. What the place name now? Oh, shoot. NIB? All day, man.
Okay.
All day.
So what you need updating on? I'm back last night.
What Dodgers? I talk about Dolphins, boy. What Dodgers?
Oh, all right.
I'm the Miami Marlins. We win.
You get too fishing here. Let's get to it. I promise, Gillum.
We win. The Marlins win last night.
Yes, Jazz with a 7-game streak. I like that.
They won again today, too.
And they won again today.
And they win again today. So that's three in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Two in a row.
Three. They win another night, too. They win.
Yeah, they won last night and then they won today.
And they win the game before that, too.
But they win the first one.
Over time.
The Cardinals won the first one. It's a three-game series. The Cardinals won the...
Yeah, you can check right now. I still check.
We win the one where we swear they won into overtime.
That was last night.
That's the walk-off last night.
Before that, too, they got into overtime.
They lost to the Cardinals in 12 and then 7-6
Or they didn't lose that one.
Yes.
Okay. I thought they didn't win that one.
Then
they won 9-8.
They win in 10 last night.
Yeah.
9-8.
And then they went today, 4-3.
They won today, 4-3.
Okay.
And they beat the Cardinals 4-3 today.
But Jazz didn't play today. I was checking online to see if something was wrong with him. You didn't play today. So
they might rest him. Yeah. They do that.
Jazz didn't play
today.
No, he didn't play today.
Yeah, well, he needed rest.
No, he didn't play at all.
And then all kind of day. Pearly, I hear you was talking about your team.
My Dodgers?
Yeah, what happened to them?
Turned up on the 9th inning. Down 9-4.
And they come
down
back.
Down 9-4 in the top of the 9th inning. Jason Hayward came up, hit a grand slam to make it 9-8. They walk Freddie Freeman, Ohtani on second, Freddie on first. Teoscar Hernandez comes up, hit a 3-run shot to put the Dodgers up 11-9.
Wow.
And then Bessier came and get the first two, and Evan Phillips came and closed the door.
Wow.
All right, Skiller, we can talk some more, man. Be safe. All right, appreciate you calling.
No, I can be doing it in the yard, though.
All right, yeah, man, we can be chopping it up.
That's a big win for you, Billy.
That's a huge win.
Yeah.
Bueller gave up 4 runs in the first inning and couldn't get a man out.
Mm.
Just want to revert real quick back to Team Bahamas, though. We got the Mobley Twins.
You don't want to talk about my Dodgers, but that's okay. Go ahead.
No, we can go back to the Dodgers. I don't mind that, but there's a point I wanted to make earlier that I don't want to slip. I think Clay and the Mobley Twins are actually practicing in Texas to get the team ready.
I saw one of the Mobley brothers there.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know if Evan is there.
Now, I don't know if, and these guys have Bahamian roots and so on and so forth, but maybe not for this squad, but moving forward, there'll be opportunities for these guys to be on the squad and they can do what they need to do. But I think just as Team America takes on, teams of professionals and collegiate, some of the top-tier collegiate players and the remainder of the professionals to make it a practice session, and they get a run and a burn before they go international. I think this is a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You got yellow jersey, you got blue jersey. I mean,
I saw
was wearing both. So
I saw Isaiah Mobley practicing with the team. I didn't see Evan. I don't know if Evan is there or not. But let me say this: there are a lot of guys in the NBA with Bahamian roots who could actually play for the Bahamas. The problem with that is, you have to have a passport either 16 or before turning 16, in order to play. Otherwise, you're going to be considered a citizen who is not a naturalized citizen. Right, and only one on the FIBAs, only one of them are on the FIBAs are allowed to play for tournament. So
the American League let you change that rule.
Unless FIBA chooses their rules in that regard, we'll have to choose just one.
Right.
And that means like fellas like Naz Reid, Evan Mobley, even Clay.
Naz Reid has distant roots, correct?
He does. So a lot of them are gonna have. We could probably make a choice going forward, but they still could add
the quality. Yeah, you look right now on this kind of team, what I think we need, we got enough shooting with Buddy, no offense, but I'd take a Naz Reid over here right now.
He would be a huge addition.
And that's a huge front line right here, monster.
Yes, indeed.
Things like it might make sense to become nationalized behemoths so you don't pay all them taxes.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine the front line with DeAndre, Naj Reid, and Kai Jones?
Oh, jeez. That's nice.
They could do some damage.
Backcourt of Buddy Hield and then the point guard of your choice.
Yep. You could do some damage.
And AJ could actually Starr could play the point if you need him to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If AJ, they go with a big lineup, AJ, he could
get out of that five. I can't remember his name. Who going to Baylor? He can be special.
VJ
too. Edgecombe. Yep. VJ Edgecombe is nice, bro. Edgecombe is nice. That might be your next NBA guy right there.
We have some young fellas coming up. You got AJ, you got VJ.
And AJ should go in the draft in the next couple of weeks and in the first round too, not in the second round.
Yes, indeed.
All right.
We got Dayton Albee as well. You got Dayton Albee coming too.
That's right.
That's right. You got some kids out there.
Yeah, man. You have a good future.
Good stuff, man.
But this, the Greece tournament will be a good practice for the team.
Yes,
I think they play two games in Greece, eh?
Yeah, they play Montenegro, I think, on June 28th. And then they play Greece on June 29th. And then
that'll be two good games. Right. They can't win, but give them a little challenge.
You know, Greece featuring Giannis. They love Giannis on that team, so that's a good measure. Yeah.
And Giannis did commit to play.
So that's a good measure to stick with the Bahamas right there.
Yeah, it'll be DeAndre up again. I like that.
And then when they get to Spain, it's going to be tough. They got, I think, Poland and, is it Latvia? Poland and Latvia.
Yeah, Latvia, Christus, Pingus. Who is this dude? Sorry, Pearly.
Hoping somebody could upset Spain, or they probably end up beating Spain in the finals.
Yeah, we might could beat Spain.
Yeah, no, but listen, Spain is stupid big.
You make it happen once you make it there.
They got a lot of height on that team, and yeah, you could play a different kind of tempo to try kind of rock that. But they got some bigs that could shoot too.
They got some big guys,
and they could all shoot.
I really thought Spain had already qualified.
They didn't.
Okay.
The big teams didn't qualify for the Olympics, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because basketball is so widespread now with the talent all over the place. Argentina. Who would have thought that Argentina wouldn't have been in the mix?
Yeah, Argentina's not even there.
Argentina was getting old. They wasn't getting up.
Yeah, they're getting old, but they still get some talent.
No, but probably they got some young dudes who are playing in Europe and in college in the U.S. that they could have fielded a team. There's no reason why Argentina could not have fielded a competitive team.
No, they fielded a team. They just didn't qualify.
But that's
my point. The competitive portion of it, you know, they could have fielded a team that could have qualified and been competitive.
But on the point that I'm making about the talent being everywhere, did you have a chance to look at Team Canada?
Shy Glorious Alexander.
Canada is going to be tough.
Yeah.
They are going to be tough. They got Wiggins coming off the bench. That's how tough the team is.
Canada is going to be in this tournament?
Canada's already qualified for the Olympics.
Who are the six teams in the tournament? Tell the public.
You got Poland. You got Spain. You have us. I think Latvia is one of them. I can't remember the other two at this particular time. I'll have to check. You see? Okay. But we're in a group with Poland and Latvia, I think. So we have to finish in the top two in that group. Go to the semifinals, and then from there, try to progress to the final, and then you have to win. Most likely be against Spain in the final.
We could win that tournament. We'll end up playing the third place team of the other group.
I think we could.
Dear God, look at this lineup, Pearly. Kyle Alexander, Nikhil Alexander Walker, RJ Barrett, Trey Bell Haynes, Kim Birch, O'Shea Brissett, Dylan Brooks, Luguenz Dort, Zach Edey, Melvin Ejim, Shai Glorious Alexander, Mufundu Kabari, Andrew Nebard, Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell, Phil Scrub, Thomas Scrub, and Andrew Wiggins. They got about at least eight pro NBA players on that team.
The Americans ain't got no put. The Americans got to come play. They ain't like they walked through the last.
Hey, I want you to believe Luguenz Dort, Dylan Brooks, Shai Glorious Alexander, Andrew Nimbard, Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell, they would put problems on the U.S. squad, you know.
They could bring the pressure.
And Andrew Wiggins coming off the bench is a money scorer for them. Jamal Murray, too. Come on, look at that, bro. That's a nasty team.
If you get in the biggest name, SGA.
I said Shai Glorious Alexander. Okay. I said him a couple times.
Wasn't Dylan Brooks here in the Bahamas with Coach Yo this weekend?
I don't know. I didn't see him.
Might have been.
I saw a picture of him in one of the dailies that he was here with Coach Yo.
Oh, I didn't see him.
Zach Edey is an interesting name there for that Canadian team because that could be the 17th pick for the Lakers in the draft, Bernie.
Who, Edey?
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad move. If you look at life after LeBron and you want to keep AD, Edey allows AD to move to power forward and still be, you know, flexible.
And AD's more comfortable in the power forward position. That's fine.
And then you put like a Hachimura at the small forward. That's a nice front line right there. That's good.
I would say
this,
the game has changed so much. It's really getting away from the big post players who are slow.
Correct.
You know, into wing defenders and guys who can shoot the rock.
The thing about Edie is he's like
a rim protector, because a lot of people...
Yeah, you need a rim protector. No doubt about that.
Rim protector. So I think Edie can be that rim protector. You don't have to rely on him to be no scorer.
But if you're slow, and you're caught up top, how you get back off the pick and roll?
But he's kind of like Adams, though. He plays good defense around the rim. He's a space eater in the paint. He blocks shots. And he's shown us now at the pre-draft of camps, all of a sudden, he can shoot the three.
I know you can, but if the guard breaks away and drives to the rim, the defensive guard don't have to fall. The defensive guard could drop off. To kill the wing, to kill that shot, the pass out, then he still could reflect the ring. He brings a different dimension.
Yeah, but Edie get pulled away from the rim. If he got in a stretch five, he get pulled away from the rim.
Yeah, but that's where you have a good enough coach with the defensive alignments. You go to some zones and some different looks on him. You know what I mean?
Boy, it can be
traps.
It could be tough. I would seriously.
But see again, but you got dudes like a healthy Vanderbilt.
Who'd you pick over Edie, Bronny?
I look for a good wing defender or stretch five.
Any of them going to be gone by 17. Any of the decent ones going to be gone by 17.
But I believe he's going to... He has the footwork, and I think he could grow into a stretch five.
Edie could plug and play as a center right now.
And he could pass, and the kid could pass.
He's got some quality.
He was like a man among boys in college.
Player of the year in basketball last year for Purdue?
I think two in a row.
You see how he was. You imagine that big white boy he used to play for North Carolina.
Which one? Which one?
Tyler Hansbrough.
Hansbrough, a shield cutter. Oh, yes.
Have you seen him in the bottle well, so I don't know.
No, but Hansbrough, him and his brother were in the league for a minute there.
Yeah, but he didn't live up to the quality that...
He was like a man amongst boys. He was dominant.
Well, talking
Edie? Far more dominant than he was. He is ready.
Yeah, Tyler was dominant in college too.
Yeah, but he wasn't dominant. Not like how Edie is.
Well, we can see. You know, I wouldn't speak ill will on him. But I just know the game has changed. The game is moving away from that.
Stay away from going from number one to number eight. So don't get too cocky.
Say again?
I say you only want ACL tear away from going from number one in the NBA to number eight.
Now, what you talking about, man? He's missing out to the best player for most of the players and still made it to the finals and still won.
Don't get cocky.
That just goes to show. No, but us missing KP for most of the players and still winning a title. So that just goes to show that the game is moving away from that post presence. Into more of a...
Yeah, you can survive without a big. If your big's right, you can still survive.
You can rely.
And if Tatum or Brown go down, the Celtics cannot win. Don't fool yourself.
Well, anybody in their major star go down, and it could be a problem.
That's what I'm saying. Don't get cocky.
You know, we ain't getting cocky. We can get cocky. We could get cocky now because we're the champions. 18, and then you're going to keep him out check.
But don't become that guy. That's my role. You stay right there. Nah, that's my role.
We can talk now. 18 to 17. Sure. We can talk.
Yeah, you can talk. You got to talk. You got to say right now.
You got plenty mouth now, Pearly. We can't say nothing. We just got to sit there and take it, man.
But take it. My number two favorite player in the WNBA, the beautiful Brinks young lady from LA Sparks, tore ACL day before yesterday.
Oh, man. Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
Sad news, man.
She took a drive to the bucket, and all I see is the knee buckle, and she went to the ground.
Wow.
But Sheldon, while I have you here, you know?
Yeah.
What's your take on this whole Caitlin Clark scenario? Do you think it's all Caitlin Clark, like some people trying to hype it on her? Do you think it goes toward that draft class that not only included her, but Angel Reese, Cardoso, and several others, Cameron Brink, who we just mentioned, that has brought back some of the appeal to the WNBA?
Well, I think it's all Caitlin
Clark. Do you think it's individual, or do you think it's more of a collective?
I think it's individual because the hype that she came into the league with, you know, the type of player that she is.
Nah, and she hasn't really lived up to the hype so far.
No, she hasn't.
Rossi said.
She hasn't, but she's young. You know, I think she's going to be...
I think it's not just her. I think it's the others. And I can say this. I might get cut off because this will be in politically or unpolitically, whatever the right word is. It's not politically correct. They femme. They girls. They like boys. Give a different image. Caitlin, Cameron Brink, Angel Reese, they give a different image to the WNBA.
And you think that's a major reason why she's hated in the league right now?
Well,
no, she's hated in the league right now because she got that the color hue of her skin, and they're trying to make her the Larry Bird of the WNBA and the savior to the WNBA. It's not just her. It's not just her.
Yeah, there's so much pressure on the young girl.
It's the hype that Angel Reese brought to the game against her and beating her for the championship. And it's the way Chris Cameron Brink has the West Coast bubbling over USC and UCLA and my girl Juju Watkins.
Hold on, hold on. Your girl is Andrew Reese. My girl is Juju Watkins. I was just about to say, don't try to even go there. You and Andrew stay in the corner, brother. You and Andrew stay in the corner. I have expressed written consent from MJ that Juju Watkins could be my future WNBA player. So don't play with me.
Bigger share because my
you ain't sure nothing. You an angel and a one leg punch. Look here, don't make me start pulling for Caitlin Clark. You know,
Juju is my side chick until she gets to the WNBA. Then I gotta cut her off.
You see Sheldon come. You see Sheldon come and say he like Cardoso. Okay, so everybody got a horse in the race. Y'all can have a horse in the race. I go wait. Juju coming in 2026, and that could be like a female Mamba.
She got 2026. She got 2 more years. She's
I just let y'all know ahead of time. Juju Watkins.
She's not coming to 2027.
Mm-mm. She could come out either after 3 years or four for the WNBA.
The NBA, because we talk about this, and I, you know, pulled my half off the Google out and checked it out. She won't be eligible until 2027.
But all she's doing is giving Caitlin and Angel a 4 year head start. And when she get there, she could bust their behind. And that record, barring injury, you heard it from me first. Barring injury, that scoring record that Caitlin Clark got will fall to Juju Watkins.
The reason why it may not fall, because
barring injury.
She's not a selfish ball player. She gets a lot of assists. Yeah. She's not gonna like Caitlin that pulls
up. I can't see putting up 30 points every game.
Oh, no. 30 points every game. Listen, Juju averaged 27 last year with 8 assists. Okay, Juju gonna get it done.
Yeah, but to get the record, she's gonna average close to 30 going for junior and senior.
And she can do it because on that kind of team at USC, the way they give her the ball and the way they let her lead and the way they run offense through her,
It'll be tough.
Well, let's see what happens if I can't remember the young lady's name, but there's a young lady who's supposed to be transferring there. And I think she transferred from LSU. Mm. And if she comes there, the ball can share up a little bit. I think you'll see.
I think I know your man, Pearly.
That's the next LSU gal you could pull for, and you just leave Juju alone. That's all I'm saying.
Just saying, I think Juju numbers will fall this year because of the more talent they're bringing on with her.
Yeah.
Not because the game in there, because she's got to share the ball. That's all.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, when Juju hit the WNBA, she could be the business, bro.
Yeah, but see, I saved something to bring up just for our good friend. What we call him, Mr. Who? Caitlin Who? What we call him?
Oh, no, but I just want to interject something. At the moment, though, I do have a horse in the race. I can't be unfair. My girl, Ionesca Jada. You can't take nothing away from her neither. That's Kobe endorsed, so I endorse her too.
Yeah, she disappeared in the finals last year though.
Yeah, but boy, she can shoot step for step with Steph though, and I don't think she's gonna disappear this year. That Liberty team is very solid this year. It's solid.
They lost out last night.
But 12-3 now, 13-3?
12-3, I think it is. You know, I still second in the WNBA. 12-3, I think. Still second in the WNBA. But they have a shot.
Between them and the Sun.
They went in Vegas and beat the two-time champs on their home court.
Yeah, something wrong with Vegas. You know what? I keep telling people, don't sleep on Vegas being 7-6 right now. When it's all said and done and they make the playoffs, Vegas is going to be one of the toughest outs there is, period.
No doubt about that. I like what the Sun are doing now. I think the Sun only lose one game. You know, and they jamming right now. They still leading the league.
Mm-hmm. And Jonquil putting up good numbers as
They got two. They got two losses.
They got two? Oh, so they just got one recently.
Yeah. They 12-2.
Okay.
All right. I got a couple of questions for you, man, coming in off the text lines. Nobody asked Sheldon and Pearly who they think will be the Lakers' next coach.
Boy, a name came up today. People trying to deny that name.
I just saying that.
Name from Detroit, who just got fired.
Monty Williams? Yeah.
His name came up, but some people saying that's not going to happen.
And I don't have a problem.
You don't think Monty would be a front runner over JJ?
Yes, but Monty Williams comes from that Popovich coaching tree. He's a great, was a great young assistant. He got dealt a boo-boo hand in Detroit. Come on, man. Listen.
But you know one thing.
The good thing about him is.
Played for him.
Hold on.
Played for him.
But listen
they
here, Pearly. They fired him after 1 year. He's got 5 years remaining, $65 million. Lakers don't have to pay him. They could pay him little or next to nothing if they wanted to because he's financially stable.
Yeah.
I mean, they give him a decent contract. He's likely to accept it because he's still getting paid from Detroit. But again.
And he comes with experience. He don't have no experience.
And maybe he might be able to look at LeBron in the huddle and say, no, we're going to run the play this way.
I keep telling you, I prefer to have an inexperienced coach right now than these retreads we keep getting. Well, he still ain't doing nothing for us.
What about J.J. Redick, though? It's clear he does his job interview on the podcast with LeBron. I'm not for that at all.
You're trying to find a Joe Mazzulla in the pipelines.
That's the only concern I have is this relationship with LeBron could be an issue, but it come down to a basketball mind and have an understanding.
Well, here's a name that
Hold on.
Here's a name that I think would work perfectly in LA right now. And I don't know why the man has been blackballed or blacklisted, Mark Jackson.
He's been blackballed around the whole NBA. I don't know why.
Oh, I know why. He made a comment years ago about a certain lifestyle, and Alonzo Mourning has been punished for it ever since.
Yeah, but he's been out of the league now for how much years? He ain't coaching much.
I don't care, boy. That run deep. That run deep.
He's 10.
So they should give him a blind now.
That long.
But I think he would be somebody that you definitely have to look at.
But you have to ask the question, does Mark Jackson even want to return to the bench now?
Well, his broadcast sidekick has. What's his name? Van Gundy made a return, and now he's an assistant with somebody. Just saw that he came out today. The Celtics gave him a lifeline, and now he signed on to be assistant with somebody else.
Well, Van Gundy is back. Well, Stan will be back next.
Oh, God.
Stan the man.
Who looked like Ron Jeremy. Stan, Ron Jeremy's stunt double.
The Van Gundys.
Well, yeah. Probably we got some picks to get to, man. We're gonna let Sheldon do the picks first.
Just before we go, Skidaboom wanted to know what's going on. There's nothing going on with the Dolphins right now other than the signings we made last week. You may see one or two moves in the NFL going over, and mostly contract extensions. So we're looking for Tua to get his contract extension. Did CeeDee Lamb get his own yet, Naughty?
No, but we got some breaking news. The talks are picking up now.
All right. So other than that, Skidder, all you can see is one or two, maybe extensions. You're not going to see nothing happening before July 13th when training camp opens. And it opens between, well, not all teams going to 13th. I think y'all going to 13th, Naughty, but then the rest open up like on the 16th and 17th.
But Burley,
all right.
How do you feel about our new DC?
He's going to bring a different type play. He's going to bring a more exciting type play. He's going to use Jalen Ramsey the right way. Instead of having him just play on the outside, he's going to line up wherever he needs to line up. You're going to see Chop Robinson, the rookie, is going to do really well on this game. Even though Chop didn't get a lot of sacks in college, they're comparing him to a certain guy out of Dallas who everybody had doubted.
Only because he went to Penn State. He can't carry Micah Chop. He's the knockoff version of Micah.
I'm saying they're liking him to Micah, and they take him. Some people are taking him just the same way everybody thought that was a bad pick by Dallas, except you. You remember that?
Yeah, listen.
He turned out to be a really good pick, so I think I'm excited. But my concern right now is right guard. What are we going to do? And Connor Williams may be available quicker than they said. He said he may not come back until the middle of the season, but some people are talking he may be ready at the beginning of the season. But it depends if Miami had enough. He may want $8 to $10 million, or will they pay him less because of the knee injury? You know, but he has graded out in the last 2 years as one of the best centers.
What about Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb?
Jalen Phillips, I hear, is recovering well.
That's why they made some moves. They picked Chop Robinson, and they made some moves to Jeff, but they're not certain if they're going to be ready for the beginning of the season.
Right.
They may not come back in November.
Okay.
Which is fine. They're fresh and ready for playoff run.
All right, I got two questions for y'all before I get out of here. First one for Sheldon, second one for both of you. Mr. Producer, if we have time, we'll go to that clip. If not, be good. Naughty, ask Sheldon why the BAAA Track and Field Nationals is being held on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week.
Well, the original plan was to have it the 20th to the 22nd this weekend, right? But the final deadline to qualify for the Olympics, which is June 30th. So we decided to move it back to next week, which is the 26th to the 28th. We were looking at Saturday, but Saturday was already booked out. So we have to go with Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right? It's going to start.
Isn't other countries doing it the same around the same time as well?
Some are. The U.S. ones will be going on. I think Jamaica one will be going on around the same time as well. But most of the countries in this region are capitalizing on that June 30th deadline to have your athletes qualify for the Olympics. So that's the main thing.
And that makes sense, you know.
Yes. So get them as much of a window as possible to qualify for the Olympics.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
The last one is this. Both of you guys, baseball guys, Pearly, you're a huge Dodger. Sheldon and I, huge Yankee fans. We lost a legend yesterday, Willie Mays, at the age of 93. Mm-hmm. I only think it would be right that we wrap up with a little tribute to Willie, because even though Sheldon and I are a little bit younger than you, Pearly, I know you got to see Willie when he was actually playing and doing his thing. We got to see him post, you know, career. But I'll always remember, man, I think the most prolific, probably the greatest catch in the outfield, one of them, was Willie Mays, dead run in center field in the Polo Grounds. I think Vic Wertz was who hit it. It was a shot over his head. He made a running over the head, into his glove, over the shoulder. And then the miraculous thing, had the sense to catch and drop on a dime and wheel and throw a strike to second base to hold the runner.
I remember that. I got to see him play the last few years of his career, but in my opinion, and a lot of other people's opinion, this is why, and I had a discussion around with my cousins the other day, I said, in baseball stats from 1950 is relevant in 2024, unlike basketball, unlike football. You consider Willie Mays probably was the greatest baseball player to ever play the game. Five-tool player to begin with, and excelled in all five tools.
Yeah,
his power can run, can catch, and can throw.
If you sit there and you could come up with the top five to argue about, Willie Mays will be in that conversation every time.
Mm-hmm. I will be in the top two every time.
Regardless of the best center.
And I think, just one quick thing before you get that thought in, Sheldon, I think post-Jackie Robinson, there were a lot of African-American players that came into the league. You had Frank Robinson come into the league. You had Hank Aaron come into the league. But there was none quite like Willie Mays. Willie, I think, was the first one that had some... outside of Satchel Paige, but it was Satchel Paige late in his career that had that gravitas and was able to talk the talk. Willie Mays had some great interviews, great conversations. He was great with the media, and he was the one that actually took that spotlight and put it on the African-American player and allowed those other guys to excel.
Yeah,
I think it was 1951, Negro League, and joined the Trenton Giants. He was the only black player on the team and many times the only black player in the whole stadium. Can you imagine what he went through?
Yeah, and he performed at a high level from then right up until he retired.
Still excellent. Still excellent. I mean, regarded as probably the greatest defensive center fielder of all time. But as you mentioned, Purdy, he was a 5-2 player. I don't think a lot of people realize that he finished his career with 660 home runs.
Right, and
he was right there with Hank Aaron for much of his career.
And that goes.
He missed two years. So even in the army,
in military,
He didn't play. If he played for those years, he might have been there. He might have beat Ray Ruth.
He might have gone over 700.
And Willie Mays had deceptive power. You didn't have him penciled like a Hank Aaron or a Frank Robinson. Those guys that you knew had pop in their bat, they was gonna hit the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had some deceptive home run seasons and stolen bases, too. You can't sleep on that, too. The man could steal a base.
Five to a player.
Yeah. It's a big loss for baseball.
And he was a great ambassador post his career for baseball, too. Everybody loved the Say Hey Kid. Everybody loved Willie Mays.
Yeah, I saw some type of an article yesterday which is saying there's some talk about the over-the-shoulder catch being looked at as possibly in the new logo for Major League Baseball.
That might be a great tribute, as there are.
You know?
That'd be a great homage. I think nobody would have a problem with that being the logo for Major League Baseball. And guess what? I don't have a problem with it because for years, Major League Baseball has just been the baseball player, that silhouette.
Right.
So if they change the silhouette to that, I think that would be a great tribute to Willie.
That'd be awesome.
To the Negro Leagues, to the players that came through from that generation that has put the game to where it is today.
Considering they now incorporate the Negro League stats within the Major League stats, so that's something that'd be great.
Now, if you want to have fun and you baseball purist, you go look up Josh Gibson, one of the greatest players in Negro League history, played for the Grays.
Yes,
he was one of the greatest catchers ever.
Check his stats out,
he was a big time home run hitter too.
Yes.
Anyway, we've got that time. You got to get to the break. Pearly, I appreciate you chiming in. It's all you tomorrow. I'm Sheldon. I'm sure I'll pop in and give you a hail so y'all can talk Dodger baseball and Yankee baseball and Dolphin football ad nauseum. But
He's more than welcome.
MJ and I will be in on Friday again. Looking forward to your show tomorrow. Sheldon, thank you for chiming in and bringing us up to snuff on everything, bro, locally and your insight internationally.
Anytime.
You all have a great ride home, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good, Bahamas, and if you can't be good at it. We'll see you right here tomorrow on Talking Heads with Earl the Pearl holding it down.
Ciao, ciao. Baby, if you with me, better do that. And I've been gone too long. Sing my song.